to be good. The rest of you have a Bible. You can turn to Acts chapter 3. We've been talking about renewal for a while. This morning is times of refreshing that I want to talk about. And last week we talked about an incredible comeback. And we looked at Samson. And Samson had great conquests. He also had some serious compromise. But in the end, he had a great comeback. And then we learned that the comeback is in dying to yourself. When Samson was really ready to lay it all on the line, follow God wholeheartedly, and even die for the cause, he made a great comeback. That was Samson's story. Now today we're in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, and boy, this is hot off the press, church. This was a kind of a busy week with a lot of things going on. In fact, yesterday we had a work day here at the church. A number of people came out, and can I tell you, by having that yesterday, we have saved thousands of dollars that we would have had to spend otherwise on projects. Believe me. So thank you for those who were here to help with that. And anyway, I had a couple of ideas for a sermon because we've been on this series for a while, but none of them really just settled in my heart until yesterday afternoon. And then I wrote a whole new sermon. So here it is, times of refreshing. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." How many want times of refreshing? Okay. I think that was a majority. Yeah, I was kind of shooting for 100%, but I'll take a majority. We want times of refreshing. What we've been talking about, this renewal process, and it all begins with this first word, repent. There's repent then. And really, at its core, repent means to change your way of thinking. Now, I know it implies a lot more than that. It also implies a change of behavior, a change of direction. But really, at its core, it's to change the way you think. Repent. Romans 12, verse 2, we're all familiar with it. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And we want a transformation. We want to become more like Jesus. It's interesting that Janelle's word mentioned the caterpillar and the cocoon and the butterfly, because that's the picture of transformation, that God wants us to become the butterfly. And it all begins with the renewing of the mind. Repent. Change the way you think. And Romans chapter 13, verse 9 says, "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." And so there it gives us some practical thought on how do you renew your mind. Well, don't think about how to gratify the sinful nature. Instead, think about what God has for you. Think like God would think. And this isn't really a biblical thing, but I think it fits. Dale Carnegie says, "It isn't what you have or who you are or where you are or what you were doing that makes you happy or unhappy. It's what you think about it." That's pretty true. And my wife is a great example of that. Naomi is almost always at peace in every situation. Have you noticed that about her? And it's because she has this mindset. She can just make up her mind that it's good. I'm going to be happy. She even does what they call lucid dreaming. If she's having a dream and it's going bad, she'll just change it. Yeah, can you believe it? And so then the dream will turn out to be good. She can do that. My dreams are just random hodgepodge wacko stuff. And Naomi controls hers. But we can too. It's what we think about things that makes all the difference. It begins with what we think. And a few years ago, I preached a sermon called "Stop Your Stinkin' Thinkin'." And basically, stinking thinking is the opposite of what God thinks, and it's very self-focused. Here's a few examples. Sometimes we say it's impossible, but God says all things are possible. You might say, "I can't go on," but God says, "My grace is sufficient for you." You might say, I can't do it. But God says you can do all things through Christ. You might say it's not worth it, but God says it will be worth it. You might say, I'm afraid. But God says, I've not given you a spirit of fear. You might say, I'm always worried and frustrated. But God says, cast all your cares on me. You might say, I'm not smart enough. But God says, I give you wisdom. You might say, I feel all alone. But God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see how the worldly mind contrasts with God's mind. Here are a few more that are popular today. Having lots of possessions is the key to happiness. Right. Climbing to the top of the corporate ladder makes you a successful person in life. Here's a real popular one today. You should just satisfy whatever urges you feel. You should always be entertained. And right and wrong is in the eye of the beholder. Okay, worldly thinking, stinking thinking. It's the opposite of what God thinks. At its heart, stinking thinking is selfish. It's all about me. It's all about me. Things like this. What do I get out of this? How can I get ahead and rise to the top? Or, I don't like the way so-and-so does such and such. You think it's focused on them, but it's really focused on you. I don't like it. But, here's another one. Give me something, and then maybe I'll do something for you. And then the classic, gotta look out for number one. Yeah, that's stinking thinking. As Christians, we usually know that we shouldn't be thinking like that, right? Okay? However, the Bible gives some other signs, things that we might not always correlate, but things that might indicate stinking thinking. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, jealousy, quarreling are indicators, along with division and taking sides. That's stinking thinking. According to Romans 1, an ungrateful attitude and a lukewarm heart for God reveal stinking thinking. Ephesians 4 talks about lying, anger, bitterness, slander, malice, and unforgiveness. In fact, it actually says falsehood, which indicates more than just lying. You know, it's being a little shady. That's all stinking thinking. 2 Peter 3 talks about scoffers and those who are overly skeptical. And it also mentions struggling with holiness. Those are all signs of stinking thinking. Here they are again. Jealousy, quarreling, division, ungrateful, lukewarm, angry, bitter, slanderous, malicious, unforgiving, falsehood, extreme skepticism, and struggling with holiness. That's all stinking thinking. Opposite of what God thinks. And so we need to repent and change the way we think. Ephesians 4:23 says that we should be made new in the attitude of our mind. And I say it's the attitude that determines the altitude. And that's kind of a catchy little phrase, but it really comes from flying an airplane. In an airplane, there's a dial on the dash that's called the attitude indicator. And what it does, it tells you how you are flying relative to the horizon. You might be flying level, or you might be pitching down, or you might be pitching up. The attitude, an upward attitude means you're going to be flying higher. A downward attitude means you're going to be crashing sooner or later. The attitude determines the altitude. And the scripture says to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Roy T. Bennett says this, attitude is a choice. Happiness is a choice. Optimism is a choice. Kindness is a choice. Giving is a choice. Respect is a choice. Whatever choice you make makes you. So choose wisely. You can choose how you think. And Philippians 2, 5 through 9 tells us what our attitude should be. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. That's it. And then it goes on and describes how humble he was. And he only wanted to do what he saw the Father doing. And he was so humble that he was willing to die for the cause. And then it says God exalted him to the highest place. You know, and we love that part about the exalting, but it all started with the way he thought. Jesus thought in terms of what does the Father want. And so we, church, need to repent. Change the way we think. Begin to think like God thinks. What does the Scripture say? And agree with the Word instead of your own ideas or what the world says. Read the Word and agree with it. Repent. And then return. Here it says, repent and turn to God. And that kind of echoes the classic revival scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's a turning or a returning that needs to take place. Sometimes when we've been caught up in sin, we feel ashamed and we turn away from God because we kind of feel like he's angry with us. But instead, we need to repent, change our way of thinking, and then turn towards God instead. Remember the prodigal son. He had walked away from his father, squandered everything, and ended up in the squalor all because he had turned away. But then he came to his senses and he turned towards home and he went back to the Father. So remember the prodigal son, but more than that, remember the prodigal's father. As the son was on his way home, the father, when he saw him still a long way off, ran out to meet him. That's a picture of God. If we're headed in his direction, he is there looking for us and he's running towards us as well. And too often we think he's mad at us, and so I just got to kind of hide away from God. But no, he's calling out, come home. Come home. Return. Revelation 2, 4 and 5. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Return. Return. Do the things you did at first. And here in Revelation, it's talking about the first love. And those of you who know what it is to be in love, what's it like when you first fell in love? I can tell you. And I think this will resonate with a lot of you. That other person was always on your mind. You were always doing things that you knew they would enjoy. You were listening to their voice. Before the days of Skype, you'd just sit on the phone and listen. And then when you had time together, you'd look into their face, make eye contact, and ultimately you'd spend as much time together as possible. Right? Isn't that what it's like when you're first falling in love with somebody? You bet it is. God says, do the things you did at first. What was it like when you first came to Christ? Do those things again. In Psalm 42, it says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? That's his heart's cry. And he says, my tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? But then he says this, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. Listen, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Here he is, he's kind of wanting to meet with God, but he's feeling some distance. And then he says, but I remember. I used to go to the house of God. And not only that, I was first in line. That's what he used to do. And he's recognizing, I need to get back to that. And so church, do what you used to do. Return to God. Read your Bible. Pray, be faithful to church, worship, and look for God in everyday life situations. Get your focus on God. Return to him. And when you repent, change your way of thinking, when you return to God and do the things you used to do, you will be restored. Here in Acts 3:19, it says, so that your sins may be wiped out. That's a picture of restoration. Because sin is a barrier between us and God. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. Sometimes, church, when we feel there's a gap between us and God, sometimes we just have to own it, that we created that gap by allowing sin in our life. Sometimes that's a fact. Sometimes we just need to know that. I know there are times that God sovereignly has his own timing and plan for things, but there are plenty of times when if there's a gap, we got to take the blame. Hello? Okay? But we can be restored. In fact, God wants to remove that barrier even more than we do. He does. Isaiah 1:18, God says, come now, let us reason together. He wants to have a little conference. And he says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. That's God's heart. He says, hey, let's have a chat. You can be restored. I'll clean you up. In fact, Isaiah 43:25, God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. That speaks of God's heart. He wants us to be restored more than we want to be restored. He does it for his own sake because he wants the fellowship and the friendship with us. He wants that and sends that barrier so God can't wait to wipe it out so that relationship can be restored. This is an act of God when we change our thinking and turn towards him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's what God wants to do. When we repent and we return, he restores. Psalm 23, starting at verse 1, familiar passage, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters, he restores my soul. God restores us. And then once we are restored to a right relationship with God, then we experience times of refreshment. Be refreshed in Acts 3:19 so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And some versions of the Bible say from the presence of the Lord. Think about working hard and being thirsty. Or working hard all day and you didn't get a break and now you're hungry. Or on a hot, humid August summer day, working outside and you are stinking hot. What's going to refresh you? I mean, you got some things coming to mind right away. Cool glass of water, some air conditioning, a fan. If I'm hungry, give me a steak, baby. Fill me up. You know what I'm saying? We need a refreshing, and times of refreshing can come. And this word refreshing, it gives us some obvious thoughts right away, but it also means relief, recovery, rest, and revival. All of that is in that picture of refreshing. And I know there are some here today that need some relief. There are others here that need some rest. And church, I believe we all need revival. And this true refreshing comes from God. It doesn't come from people, places, or possessions, but it comes from God's presence. That's where true refreshing comes. Refreshing renewal comes by simply being in the presence of God. Psalm 21:6 says, there is joy in his presence. And I believe that there is power in his presence. And the scripture also teaches that in him we are made new. All things are made new in his presence. So this entire subject of renewal really boils down to coming back to God. We need to repent and change our way of thinking so that we aren't afraid to return to God and do the things we did at first when we first fell in love with Jesus. And then when we do that, there will be restoration with the barrier of sin broken, and there will be times of refreshing. It's in the presence of God. Well, the last couple days, it seems like spring has finally sprung. Finally. And isn't it refreshing? I mean, to be able to step outside and it's not snowy and cold or pouring rain. It's just nice out. I know some of you wanted to get a little warmer yet, but we're moving in the right direction. It's refreshing. You know, in the old adage, April showers bring May flowers. And I want you to know, church, we can be refreshed by the Lord. And when he pours out his spirit, it will bring new life. It's refreshing. I put it this way. When we repent and change how we think, we start the process to stop all the stink. And when we return to the Lord that we love, he lovingly reaches from heaven above, restoring, forgiving. He makes us complete, refreshed in his presence. Revival is sweet. I want to be refreshed. How about you? So let's repent, change the way we think, begin to line our thoughts up with God. Let's return and do some of the things we did at first. And then God will restore us, and he will refresh. I'm looking for that. How about you? Would you please stand? Take it away. Lord, would you do it again? God, would you again? God, we're looking for the day that you pour out your spirit and bring revival. Times of refreshing, God. That's what we're longing for. God, that you would transform us and make us more and more like Jesus. And that your power would flow in this place and through us, God. That there would be demonstrations of power as the Apostle Paul spoke of, Lord God. That there would be miracles and healings and signs and wonders. And that people would be saved and transformed. Lord God, we are longing for those days. Would you do it again? Would you do it in our time? Would you do it in this place, Lord God? Lord, help us to repent and change our way of thinking, that we're thinking like you think, that our thoughts are aligning up with the Word of God. Lord, we want to return to you and help us to do the things we used to do and express our love to you. And then, Lord, we long to be restored and refreshed. And, Lord, we know those things only come through you. And so our eyes are on you. We're turning towards you. Refresh us, Lord God. Bring refreshing in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know there are some in the house today that really need a refreshing. They need the relief. They've been under oppression and troubled. God, I pray that you would refresh them. Lord, there are others who are just worn out. God, they need some rest. Lord, not just some time off to take a nap, but Lord, they need an inflow of your spirit to bring them true rest. And Lord, all of us need a revival. Every one of us could walk closer with you than we currently do. So revive us, Lord. Breathe life into us. Refresh your people, Lord, I pray. This is all in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's any that would really like special prayer, perhaps something in there about the refreshing, relief, rest, whatever, I'll meet you here in the front. Maybe Naomi and a couple others might join me. And we'd just love to pray with you that God would bring that kind of breakthrough for you. Otherwise, you're dismissed. God's blessings on you. Have a great week.